JC Corcoran Podcast.
Just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
You know, Van Halen made it onto the music scene in the mid-1970s, and then around 1980, the whole punk rock thing started in, and then you had sort of like alternative forms of pop music, and in this specific case, I'm referring to Elvis Costello. Somebody in the press corps said, hey, look, you know, music critics love Elvis Costello, and David Lee Roth said, that's because most music critics look like Elvis Costello. Weird looking morning here on the, what is this day? Oh, yeah, it's the final day of June. It's the 30th, 2021. You got the JC Corcoran podcast here at jcontheline.com. I spent a great evening last night down at Ballpark Village. I have not been to Busch Stadium in a very long time. And so I missed, you know, the pandemic and everything. And I got there last night early and decided to go walking around and everything. And I was astonished by everything that they've done down there. Again, this is somebody who hasn't been to the ballpark in quite a while. Very, very, you know, I had a little dinner at Salt and Smoke prior to the game, walked around, did a little people watching, and then, you know, slid into the ballpark and spent the entire evening last night, the entire game, in the broadcast booth with John Hewlett. Now, people ask me all the time, and they ask John all the time, hey, do you still talk? You guys still talk? It's like, the answer is yes, we talk all the time. I send him texts all the time. He sends me texts all the time. And when we have the opportunity to get together, we do. But he's so busy, and he's got three daughters, two are grown and married and all that sort of stuff, and one just turned 21, and you know, he's getting ready to take a nice long vacation and everything during the Major League Baseball All-Star break. You know, Cardinals finish off this series, and then there's no baseball at Busch Stadium for quite a while. But anyhow, I just sat next to him in the press area last night where he does the announcing for Busch Stadium. We sat there and just laughed and laughed for 2.5 solid hours at the ballpark last night. We tell old stories. We tell new stories. A lot of family stuff. You know, I've got three daughters. He's got three daughters. We have some very similar experiences. Let's just put it that way. But we are also doing a lot of speculating about the team, you know, because he sits there every single night and watches them live and in person. I watch them on TV every night. We get together, we start comparing notes, and then, of course, there's stuff that John tells me that he hears around the ballpark that is confidential that I can't share with you. Otherwise, we get John in trouble, and we don't want to do that. But suffice it to say that John's doing well, and we had a great, great time just hanging out last night. I got there to the ballpark in my brand new, for me, Weber Chevrolet Chevy Equinox. I had never even driven an Equinox prior to 2016, and they pulled one out and they said, here, try this. And I just fell in love with the car. First of all, 16-gallon tank, 16 gallons, and I think it's 31 on the highway. And so, you know, there have been times that I have left St. Louis to go see my sister in Chicago, in the suburbs in Chicago, and I started driving, and I can make it there on one tank of gas all the way to the Chicago suburbs because the combination of the giant tank and the great highway mileage, it'll get you there. So day before yesterday, I went in, started scoping one out, and picked it up yesterday, drove it to the ballpark last night. I'm in love with the car already. It is weird to go to any car dealer right now because there's so little inventory, and that means everything, even pre-owned cars. There's so little of everything, and it all traces back to the idea that there are cars, assembled cars, on lots all over the Detroit area and other places where cars are manufactured in this country. But when the pandemic hit, for reasons that have not been sufficiently explained to me yet, the computer chips that are in your car, and the computers obviously run everything now, and have for quite some time. So the computer chip industry is what's behind. And they can't sell you a car without a computer in it, without the chips. The whole thing has produced a ripple effect in the automobile industry. And so you have people wanting cars and they can't get them. And you go out to pretty much any car lot right now, not just Weber Chevrolet with their three locations. But you go out there and the lot is just empty. There's no inventory. And even pre-owned cars. But I did manage to, like I said, I got one and I'm very, very happy with it. And nothing like driving a brand new car. Even if it's pre-owned, it's still new to you. You know what I mean? So let me tell you what's going on right now with regard to this outfit called Keep Live Alive. This is the pet project in part of Ron Stevens of the former team of Stevens and Gridnick, who used to do the morning show at Casey way, way back in the day. And they got this on STL.com website where they do videos and interview people and just do stuff about St. Louis and everything. And they're having a great time doing it. And Ron and Joy are just wonderful people, great, great St. Louis ambassadors. And one of the things they did, I mean, they're so close to the music industry in this town. And when I say music industry, that would involve everybody from people who work at the Fox Theater and the pageant, you know, the IATSE guys, the union guys who work backstage, the ticket takers, the ushers, just the, you know, maintenance people. All these people lost their jobs during the pandemic and had absolutely no income. Now you throw in people who work parking lot jobs at Riverport or, you know, just stuff like that. All of these people, all the people who work in the offices, you know, who coordinate the stuff, the bands that come in, the operations people, again, more and more ticket people, managerial people, just, you know, thousands of people you're talking about in the St. Louis area, thousands and thousands who are responsible for getting the shows staged at various concert venues all over the St. Louis area. And these people all lost their jobs and really, really hurting, can't pay their rent, stuff like that. So Ron and a couple of other friends got together and put this organization together called Keep Live Alive, which basically means live entertainment, everything from the comedy shows to music and all points in between. So they started raising money And they had a couple of different ways that they were raising money. And then they were basically writing grants and sending 1,000 here and 1,000 here, just so that, you know, somebody who takes your tickets or somebody who works at as an usher or some, you know, guy who works backstage running the lights or the audio or something like that, these people can pay their rent and buy some groceries and stuff. And thousands and thousands of dollars have been raised, and everybody is really, really happy with the outcome of this thing. And one of the things they're doing is they went to everybody they could think of and said, do you have anything we can put together for auction items? And then, like, you know, every week they post something on this website for Keep Live Alive, and they got Facebook and everything. It's a lot of autographed guitars and people saying, okay, here's four concert tickets. You get to sit with one of the disc jockeys from one of the radio stations at a concert that's upcoming, or, you know, just stuff like that. Anything that people could think of. Like I said, a lot of autographed memorabilia. So I said, what would you say to this idea? Now, back in we're coming up on the anniversary, obviously, because the 4th of July. But in 1985, they wouldn't allow Casey to be on the VP Fair grounds. And John and I were doing the morning show along with DJ. And they're like, what do you mean they won't let us on the arch grounds for the VP Fair? Yeah, you're the wretched refuse. They don't want you there. So a couple of people from the station had this idea. They go, well, the Admiral is just sitting. Now, you have to understand what the Admiral looked like in 1985. It had been towed and just sort of stuck there on the St. Louis riverfront, and it was in just absolutely horrible shape. I think people had just started using it for parts, scrap, I don't know. But they ushered us onto this thing, and I'm like walking along, and they're like, watch your step. And you look at the floor, and there's a hole in the floor, and you can see all the way down to the water. And, you know, stuff like that. There's jagged steel all over the place, and they're like, be really careful here. But they found us a little area on the side of the boat that was facing the arch grounds, and people all sat along the riverfront. And, yeah, we had like 4,000 people there for Party Town one day. And so we sat on the boat, and they put up big speakers and big banners, and we all showed up, and we all did our shows from there, and we had a great time. And there wasn't a goddamn thing that the VP Fair Committee could do to stop us because we weren't on the arch grounds. Our listeners were, our fans were, but we weren't. And so there wasn't anything they could do. And it's a shame you have to have a relationship like that with the VP Fair Committee, but that was their choice, not ours. So I'm walking along, and I see this box full of stuff, and I said to somebody, and it might have been John, too. I said, is that what I think it is? It was the bell from the SS Admiral back in 1985. So I said to Ron Stevens, I said, what about this? I've been holding on to this thing for 35 years, however long it is. It was like, oh, that's a great idea. So I autographed the bell, wrote a little inscription on it, and then I provided a video for Ron, which is posted on Keep Live Alive right now, where you'll see the story of it. And I said, in terms of authentication, all I can do is show you this. And I produced a picture of me with Robert Hayes from Airplane, who was our guest one of the days on the boat, and there's a shot of him holding the bell, and it's very clear that the picture is 1985. It's a black and white shot, too, and it's very clear that it's 1985, and I can tell you why, because I had a lot of hair. And so I said, you know, for anybody who is like, well, how do we know that this is really what you say it is? The only thing I can show you is us sitting on the Admiral doing the show in 1985, Robert Hayes holding the bell, which I had just found. And I've been holding on to this thing for the last 3.5 decades. So I sent it to Ron. He put it up as the auction thing. And what's the old saying? No good deed goes unpunished. All that's been happening for the last 2 days since they posted this thing is people casting aspersions on my claim, that this is the original bell from the SS Admiral. You got all these people commenting, picking it apart, and saying it's not what it is. It's not what I say it is. It's like, yes, what else can I do in terms of proving it is what it is? I got there's the picture. It's very clear where we are and what was going on. It's obviously the bell from the SS Admiral. But that's where we are in this country right now. We believe all of the nonsense and conspiracy theories and people just making stuff up and talking out of their asses, and we believe all of that, but we don't believe things that are true and have been proven and that our two own eyes stuck in the front of our friggin' heads can actually see. I don't know. Anyhow, but if you want to bid on the bell, go to Keep Live Alive on Facebook, or I think if you do that and just punch it in on the internet, you'll get it too, and you can bid on this thing. Apparently, the bids are going crazy because people, there's a whole group of people who are just sitting there going, man, that's not what it is, without having any information whatsoever. Just they've got a computer and an internet connection, and so let's just throw rocks at this thing. And one guy posts some, you know, snarky comment like, well, if JC said it, it's probably not true. And it's like, okay, I've already found that guy, and I'll deal with him on my own. But may I remind people, and this is sort of an important point, may I remind people that in about 99.9% of the cases, the last 37 years that I've been talking into this microphone and either going out over the air or in this case going out over the internet, I don't get in trouble, quote, in, you know, quote unquote, in trouble for telling lies. I get in trouble for telling the truth. It's the truth that's dangerous. And if you go back and you really think about all the things that have happened in the last 3.5 decades with me talking into a microphone, I can go back and I can positively prove to you my statement that I get in trouble for telling the truth, not lies. You think I've ever told a lie? You good. You send me that. I'll give you my email right now, jc@jconline.com. jc@jconline.com. You think I've told a lie? You go ahead. You send that to me, and I will address it here on the JC Corcoran podcast. But I'm telling you right now, you're not going to be able to do it. And now this.
What year was your mother born? Can you figure that out just off the top of your head?
37, I think.
1937. So you would actually have to talk to your mother's mother or your father's mother to get a whiff of this. Just seems impossible that we have anything from 1894. But in 1894, a woman named Ruth Smithers wrote a book called Sex Tips for Husbands and Wives.
Wow.
But this is in 1894. Let's just try to imagine the world. Obviously, it's a decade and a half before the World's Fair in St. Louis.
This was written by a woman.
Yes.
She couldn't vote. She could write a sex book.
You know, almost 2 decades before the World's Fair in St. Louis. You got to sort of place yourself, you know, back in that
29 years after the Civil War.
Yeah. Okay, good. Good. Good reference point.
Weird.
Here are some of the tips listed in Ruth's book. Listen up. Again, 1894. Number one, the wise bride will permit a maximum of 2 brief sexual experiences weekly. And as time goes by, she should make every effort to reduce this frequency. Feigned illness, sleepiness, and headaches are among her best friends in this matter.
Wow.
Number two, just as she should be ever alert to keep the quantity of sex as low as possible, the wise bride will pay equal attention to limiting the kind and degree of sexual contacts. Men are by nature rather perverted, and if given 1894.
I'm framing that.
Men are by nature rather perverted, and if given the chance, would engage in quite a variety of the most revolting practices, including mouthing the female body and offering their own vile bodies to be mouthed in turn.
Yeah.
Number four, do not encourage him. Nudity, talking about sex, reading stories about sex, viewing photographs and drawings depicting or suggesting sex are the obnoxious habits the male is likely to acquire if permitted.
Mm-hmm.
This is years and years before the internet. Number five, a wise wife will make it her goal never to allow her husband to see her unclothed body and never allow him to display his unclothed body to her. Number six, women have found it useful to have thick cotton nightgowns for themselves, which need not be removed during the sex act, thus the minimum amount of flesh is exposed. Number seven, once in bed, the wife should turn off all the lights and make no sound to guide her husband, lest he take this as a sign of encouragement.
Wow.
Number eight, I love this one. A woman should lie as still as possible. Bodily motion could be interpreted as sexual excitement by the optimistic husband. Sex, when it cannot be prevented, should be practiced only in total darkness. Number 9. Wise wives are ever on the alert for new and better methods of denying the amorous overtures of the husband. Arguments, nagging, scolding, and bickering prove very effective if used in the late evening. Number 10. Men obtain a major portion of the sexual gratification from the peaceful exhaustion immediately after the act is over. The wife must ensure that there is no peace in this period for him to enjoy, otherwise he might be encouraged to soon try for more. Number 11. By their 10th anniversary, many wives have managed to complete their childbearing and have achieved the ultimate goal of terminating all sexual contacts with the husband. And finally, number 12, one cardinal rule of marriage should never be forgotten. Give little, give seldom, and above all, give grudgingly. Written in 1894 and practiced to the letter by my first wife.
Ruth. She had a sad life. Tried to make others sad as well.
That's my next person to see here in the next couple of days. Lori Mack. Be looking her up a little bit later on today. All right, Kim Kardashian toured the Vatican. The Vatican wearing an off-the-shoulder sheer white lace dress with lots of cutouts to expose her midsection and back. Obviously, a lot of people thought it was disrespectful. Angels pitcher Dylan Bundy couldn't handle the heat at Yankee Stadium the other night. By the end of the second inning, he heaved right on the pitcher's mound. They took him out of the game. He's going to be fine. Jeff Garland thinks Larry David has maybe one more season of Curb Your Enthusiasm left in him. He said that even though Larry is in good shape, he is about to turn 74 years old, and the busy filming schedule is physically exhausting. I know people like this. I have always known people like this who are friends, but I don't know, have some sort of sick, twisted obsession about the friendship, and for years and years and years have been playing practical jokes on one another. And that brings us to the issue of Ed Sheeran and Courtney Cox, who apparently have been friends for, I don't know, like 20 years. And whenever he's in LA, he actually stays at her house. He also uses her Alexa to secretly order X-rated gifts for her. So Ed Sheeran's on the Late Show with, the Late Show with James Courtney, and he admitted that one time when Courtney left the room, he ordered a GIMP mask. When it arrived, Courtney had no idea where it came from, so he keeps doing it. And here's the quote. Now when I go back there, I order her another GIMP mask. She has maybe like 12. I hide them in people's bedrooms so they'll go to the drawer and find a leather S&M mask. End quote. Tonight, Harvey Keitel, who does not do the talk show circuit hardly ever, is going to be on with Colbert, James Corden as Heidi Klum and Ed Sheeran, and I'm sure he'll continue to talk about that. Andy Dick, wow, how 90s is this? Arrested for assaulting a man with a metal chair. Jason Bateman, Sean Hayes, Will Arnett have a podcast together, and Amazon just bought the thing for $80 million. People who have re-upped on their Sirius XM subscription are a little upset about the fact that they re-upped and then Howard signs a $500 million deal with Sirius and then says, hey, guess what? I'm going to take off for the rest of the summer. Hey, wait a minute. The first trailer for the Sopranos prequel movie, which is called The Many Saints of Newark, has been posted on the internet. Punch around. I'm sure you'll find it. And even though he has Alzheimer's, Tony Bennett is going to film an episode of MTV Unplugged on Friday night with Lady Gaga. Birthdays today, Michael Phelps, 36. Lizzie Kaplan, who played Virginia Johnson on The Masters of Sex, 39 today. She's a fine-looking female specimen. Mike Tyson, 55. David Alan Greer from In Living Color. And a great movie called Return to Me. It's sappy, but I love it. David Alan Greer is 65 today. I'm old enough to remember this. I was actually working my first on-air radio job, job out of college. And I actually did the story on the air in the summer of 1975. Cher and Greg Allman got married only 4 days after she divorced Sonny. They ended up splitting up. I'm talking about Cher and Greg Allman split up 9 days later, but well, they got back together, and then he, as the story goes, was wasted at a restaurant and passed out face down into a plate of spaghetti. I've exhibited some bad behavior and some violations of protocol and manners in my many, many years, but never did that. A guy brought 24 wild rabbits into Australia all the way back in 1859. They multiplied so fast that in less than 70 years, there were 10 billion rabbits in Australia. They were producing at a rate of 18 to 30 for every single female rabbit per year. And a new poll asked people about faking it. Not that. Get your mind out of the gutter. People were asked to name things they pretend to know about so they don't look stupid. And 62% admitted they do it with at least one topic. For example, car repairs, like when you're talking to a mechanic. Just under half of us pretended to know more about cars than we really do, and 38% of people have been caught pretending, so they doubled down and wouldn't admit it, by the way. Home improvement stuff, conversations about the latest gadgets or new tech, tax knowledge, parenting, cooking, politics, fitness and nutrition, 17%. A lot of people get next Monday off and have a 4-day work week, but should we do that all the time? A new survey found 2/3 of Americans would prefer to work 10 hours a day, 4 days a week. 86% of dog owners say their dog is one of their best friends. 67% of them say their dog qualifies because they're always there. And in general, Americans say the top qualities of a best friend are laughter, loyalty, and reliability. They do this study every year. The American Farm Bureau Federation found the average 4th of July barbecue for 10 people. Here it goes. It breaks down to 2 pounds of hamburger plus cheese and buns, $13. 3 pounds of pork cost you $11.65. Boneless chicken breasts, 2.5 pounds of homemade potato salad, 32 ounces of beans, 13-ounce bag of potato chips, chocolate chip cookies, 2 pints of strawberries, 1/2 gallon of vanilla ice cream, lemonade for 10 people. The whole thing comes out. By the way, no hot dogs. What's that all about? Anyhow, it breaks down to, and again, this is the average 4th of July barbecue for 10 people should cost you $59.50. And if there is one thing that everybody agrees on, it's that robocalls suck. And there's a big deadline today for phone companies to finally do something about it. I don't know if it's going to make a difference, but last year, the FCC announced it was going to force companies to implement a new technology called STIR/SHAKEN. It's designed to reduce the more than 50 billion robocalls we get each year. STIR stands for Secure Telephone Identity Revisited, and SHAKEN somehow stands for Signature-Based Handling of Asserted Information Using Tokens. Anyhow, they're basically forcing phone companies to verify that the caller ID that pops up on your phone is a real ID. And in theory, it should make it harder for scammers to use software to hide their number or trick you into thinking it's a legit phone number, usually from your very own neighborhood. So the question is, will it work? Well, the answer appears to be maybe, but don't expect a huge difference overnight. Most of the big carriers like Verizon and T-Mobile have already been adding it, so it's not like they're throwing a switch today and all of a sudden your robocalls are going to go away. Plus, smaller carriers have at least another year before they have to do it. Robocalls, by the way, are really just a cheap and profitable way to steal our money. So experts say scammers are already looking for new ways to get around it. A man in the UK has tested positive for COVID 43 times. His sense of taste is so damaged, he actually likes Nickelback. Good morning, everybody. The NFL gave teams permission to use alternate helmets. The New York Jets immediately requested a switch to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We're running out of gas again because they don't have enough guys, or women for that matter, to drive the big trucks. the big tankers. And one can only guess what goes on in this marriage, you know, when nobody is watching. But an Idaho man has recaptured a Guinness World Record by covering his wife in plastic wrap in only 1 minute and 2.44 seconds. It's the word recaptured that got my attention. So at some point, this guy said, honey, this is our legacy. So he called up the Guinness people and said, look how fast I can do this. And they said, well, you're right. Okay, you're in the Guinness World Book. But some other dude came along and said, I can wrap my wife in plastic in a shorter amount of time than that. And they took the title away from the original guy and gave it to the new guy. And the original guy got so upset, he said, no, honey, we got to go back and recapture our title. I don't care if we have to practice morning, noon, and night. We're going to recapture that title. And so they went through rolls and rolls of plastic wrap. I imagine getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning and rehearsing this over and over and over again until they got it down to 2.44 seconds and called the Guinness World Book people and said, we think we can establish a new record. Oh, and by the way, the Guinness people kept showing up for this. I used to think I understood what was going on in the world. It turns out I understand nothing. And with that, we say farewell, goodbye, and have a great day. The J.C. Corcoran Podcast for Wednesday, the 30th of June, 2021, is in the can. We publish at about 7 o'clock every weekday morning right here at jcontheline.com. Please do your best to spread the word and let people know that we are here. Enjoy your day. In the meantime, we've beaten this one to death. Have a good one. See you later. Bye.
The J.C. Corcoran Podcast.